And joining us now for a conversation as we are again spending time at the RCAF USA National Convention in Deadwood, South Dakota. He is the president of RCAF, Dave Hyde from Ohio. Dave, it is good to talk with you again and meet you in person here over the last couple of days, and appreciate you guys having me out here to take part and enjoy some conversations. And I got to say, a great crowd out here for this year's convention, Dave.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming out. And from what I'm hearing, this is one of our biggest crowds that we've had in the last 26 years.
Well, and no doubt a lot of issues to talk about with a crowd of this size. And, you know, one that jumps out to me that maybe we could start with that's been a very hot topic this week is the property rights issue. And there's so many facets of this. I mean, talk about that and some of what you've heard from experts here this week.
Man, there's just so much to go over. I mean, the biggest thing I heard was last night, and it wasn't even a speech. I was actually having dinner with the Mauds and sitting there for 2 hours talking to them and listening to what went on about their land issues out there. I had to have everybody scared. And I tried to explain to them, you know, when you're east of the Mississippi, people don't know what's going on with the BLM. They think it's Black Lives Matter, not Bureau of Land Management. We don't have this in Ohio. And a lot of this needs to be brought back to the east and let the people know. I mean, we just heard in there Margaret Byfield, you know, talking about the property issues and everything going on there with the 30 by 30, and a lot of this stuff needs rolled back.
And it's something that it's been an issue for so many years, and there's so many different segments of the property rights conversation. You mentioned a couple of those things, a lot of Western land management issues that don't get talked about enough. I think about some of the eminent domain issues that we hear a lot about in the Midwest with carbon capture and more. There's so many facets of this, you almost don't necessarily know where to start, Dave.
Oh, absolutely. Roger McGowan was here yesterday, and he hit on a couple things, and I ran into him this morning, and I said, hey, it's a big issue for us back in Ohio. It's the eminent domain on carbon capture pipelines. Now they're trying to run it through us, and he was trying to explain how one thing leads into another, and you know, actually, I'm fighting it back home. I'm not trying to kill their bill. I'm just trying to have them put, they cannot take the property by eminent domain, you know, because I've been eminent domain before on gas lines, and it's not fun to go through the courts.
What are some other topics that have intrigued you, piqued your interest here during the convention this week?
Okay, yeah. If you was to poll the people here on their main topics, I mean, we get to the brass issues here, and MCOOL is probably one of the top issues that we want. We'd like to see that, and we think that would propel the cattle industry, the American cattle industry, to where it should be. The consumer is getting the wool pulled over their eyes right now when they go to the store and pick up a package of meat and it says product of USA. It could come from any one of over 20 countries. One of the second things is the mandatory EID, and you know, we need to get that rule rolled back also. I mean, it's a very hot topic here, and I've had a lot of people come up to me and said, Dave, they says, if this thing goes through, I'm done. I am not letting the government interfere in my business. But if you was at personally me, myself, I think one of the biggest issues right now, and if everybody get behind it, we'd have the cattle industry would really excel, and that's going to be Senator Lee's OFF Act. Mm-hmm. I mean, what it does, it takes the money away from the lobbyist, and who do we hate? The lobbyist. And I could take any one of the people that receive checkoff dollars from the checkoff funds and show you where they're fighting against the cattle industry. Let's just take the North America Meat Institute. I mean, during COVID, when the senator from Kentucky, our Congressman Massey, he proposed the Prime Act, you know, where we could sell meat from a custom processor to our neighbors, and they came right out, no, you know, that could be the health effects of it, you know, people could get sick. And I also read an article where they're teaching their clients, I guess, that how to do emissions testing, you know, and what's that lead to? It's going to lead to, well, if I want to do business with them, I'm going to have to do my own measure, monitor, report, and verify on my own farm. And we don't want to get into that. It's just a contentious issue.
Well, and I know especially those issues you brought up, and I've heard a lot about EID, of course, and M-COOL, and I know that Senator Rounds, we're going to hear from him here later today, he's reintroduced M-COOL legislation, so you know, it's a matter of, can we see that go through on Capitol Hill? But you know, I think about just where our beef supply is currently in the U.S. We talk about low herd levels and, you know, we're importing all these cattle and more. And at the end of the day, I go, and it's me maybe trying to understand more about the broader cattle industry because I'm no expert by any means, but I'm going, why do we keep importing so much from foreign countries? You know, I think that's maybe at the heart of some of these issues that kind of just doesn't make sense to me, and I'm just a good old kid from northern Iowa, Dave.
Yeah, and I'm a cow-calf guy from Ohio, and the thing is, we don't have cows now. They're liquidating in my area. What are we, at about an 80-year low on the cow-calf herd? We've lost over half of our producers over the last 40 years. We've lost 85,000 small feedlot owners, and the small feedlot guys was my bread and butter. I mean, they was the one out there competing for my calves. If we don't have it anymore, guys have went out of business, so we have to rely on a foreign market. And you know, there's countries that still got pernicious diseases, and we need a higher set of standards. We need to have them be equal to, not the same as, but equal to our standards in the United States.
Something you mentioned, diseases and issues and pests. I know I haven't heard a whole lot of talk about screwworm here this week, but I know you and I maybe touched on this a bit off air in some of our conversations. We know USDA has rolled out more funding here this week to build a facility in South Texas and try to fight back against screwworm. But from our calf's perspective, I mean, a lot of what folks are saying is if we see screwworm reenter the U.S., it's going to be devastating to ranchers across the country.
I think it's going to be devastating as far as the maintenance on the herd, to make sure you don't have it, to catch them, to bring them in, to treat them. Yeah, we may lose a few, maybe not. What they're doing now, we're all in favor for the new fly buildings that they're getting ready to build. What was it, $21 million?
It's a five-pronged plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's millions of dollars with it, too. I'd have to look at the exact figure myself.
And,
but
yeah, we're all for it. Now, our Dr. Max, he wrote a letter to the veterinarians, USDA, trying to get the use of feed-grade ivermectin as a preventive and a cure, too. We got a letter back, and it said that they was basically just looking into all measures right now, and they wouldn't give him a yes or a no on it.
It's an issue. It's not going to go away. It's something along with all of these other topics that we have to keep our eyes on. Dave, and I think another big thing, too, we can wrap up with is that you guys have talked a lot here about folks coming together just to make their voices heard. Whatever side of an issue you are on, strength in numbers, advocating, talking to folks, and making sure that, you know, folks are aware of some of these challenges that are out there and talking about them and working with groups like RCAF, et cetera, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what's interesting is a lot of people come up to me and tell me things that I don't know. And, you know, we feed off that. You know, at RCAF, questioning your directors, that's your right, man. It's not a privilege. It's your right to question us. And you reach out to us at any time whatsoever. If you think something's wrong, if you got some information, that's the only way we learn.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Dave, any other final thoughts for us here?
No, we really appreciate you coming out here and covering this, and hope you can make it back next year.
Well, we appreciate the invite, and we'll look forward to it. Dave Hyde, president of RCAF USA, joining us here at their convention at Deadwood, South Dakota. Dave, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.